Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The hymn writer certainly had our text today in mind when he wrote that hymn. For Jesus said, it was recorded in Mark chapter 4, verses 26 to 29, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises day and night, and the seed sprouts and grows, and he knows not why. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, and then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." Friends, this is our text for today. This weekend, we pause for a moment to consider how we are blessed to live in this country, and to thank the Lord God for all that he gives us and has done for us. I think that one of the many blessings that we all take for granted so often is the abundance of good food that we have. Why, you only have to walk down the aisles of the mega supermarket and look at the aisles and all the products that are put there, all the food. It's just amazing. You know, our children have never known a day where they didn't have enough food to eat. I would venture that is true. Instead, we have the challenge of teaching the kids, you know, the right food to eat and to get exercise so that they stay healthy. One thing, though, when we go in the store that we don't often think about is where all that food comes from. Beyond the supermarket and the warehouse, before it's processed, every kind of food is grown somehow. The bagel you had for breakfast this morning, perhaps, comes from wheat. And a farmer grew that wheat. Your bacon came from a hog farm, probably somewhere out in Iowa, you know. But there was a farmer who raised that hog, took it to market. Your orange juice came from an orchard where a farmer tended to the trees and gathered the oranges during the harvest. So I say to you, where would we be without the farmers? Where would we be? This country is overflowing with good and wholesome food of every kind. Truly, it is a land flowing with milk and honey. And God bless those who grow that food for us and to the glory of God. Jesus understood this well in his day and age, and he told today's parable about the farmer. Now, he didn't glorify the farmer, but he presented him as a beholder of miracles. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, and he knows not how. Today's farmers use high-tech planters to put the seeds in the ground. I was talking with one of them not too long ago, and they were telling me about the electronic monitors they have, and they know how many seeds per acre, and how many seeds in a row, and how many inches apart, and how many inches apart the rows are, and how many inches deep the seed goes in the soil. But essentially, the farmer today is doing the same thing he did back in Bible times, scattering seed in the ground, just a little more precisely today. But does the farmer have to understand all the biological functions of the seed in order for it to grow? Well, certainly not. No, he just plants it in the soil in the right conditions, and the seed grows all by itself. He cannot make the seed grow faster. He cannot make it grow slower. He can only select the seed, plant it, care for it, give it the right nourishments and fertilizer. But he cannot manufacture a seed for himself. He has to take a seed from another plant that God has created. But the result is powerful. You put one seed in the ground, it grows a plant with many seeds, each of which perhaps can grow many plants. The seeds produce grain, fruit, and vegetables much more valuable than that original seed that is put in the soil. Around the middle to late May, I like to drive around the country roads and get out of town, because every year there's a miracle going on out there. You know, the corn plants are just rising out of the ground. Each seed produces just a green blade sticking up out of the dirt. And the scene goes on for mile after mile after mile in every direction. Little green corn plants everywhere, each one a miracle. Now the farmer, no matter how educated he is, really doesn't know how the plant grows, but he just knows it will grow given the right conditions. Our Lord Jesus says that this is similar to how the kingdom of God comes to us. A preacher comes along and puts the seed of God's word out there among us. He preaches the good news to us. He does not know who will receive that word and who will not. He preaches and teaches, not understanding how the Holy Spirit will work, but only trusting that he will work. Now, by preaching the gospel, what I mean is that he proclaims both the law and the gospel. First, he tells us the law. Perhaps he tells us that the world we see and live in is a beautiful world, but it is a broken one. The world is in rebellion against God. And we are a part of this broken world, and so we are broken ourselves. St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, as we read today, that we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. In the earthly tent, our human body, we groan and are burdened. Now, if you're in the peak of health right now, you probably don't think about your earthly tent being a place that you groan and long for a heavenly tent to live in. However, if you have health problems, if you have pain and discomfort each day, then you know what he means. All of us could just take a walk down one of our many hospitals or nursing home hallways, and we could see there the understanding of this. There is so much pain and suffering that cannot be cured. It can only be endured. But we experience this brokenness of our world and our lives not only through health problems, but also through broken relationships and grief and the daily grind of life. Some of it we bring on ourselves when we disobey God's commands. In this way, we all experience hardship and we long for a better life. This is the message of God's law that the sower of the seed, that is the preacher, brings to us, reminding us that we are headed for death and that we cannot save ourselves. Now, the faithful preacher has to be careful not to tell us that we can overcome the world by working harder at being obedient. This idea, of course, is gaining in popularity all the time, but it is a dead end. The Bible says the kingdom of God does not come by our careful preparation. It does not come to us because we are working hard at it, trying to discover it or make it happen. The kingdom of God comes only by God's doing in our lives. The law message prepares us for the gospel. And the gospel message is that good news about how God rescues us. He has rescued us by coming into the world, not merely to teach us how to live a better life, which we could never do, but by living that better life for us. Jesus went to the Heavenly Father with a deal, his perfect life for our broken life. Now, when this message is received by someone, the Holy Spirit is working there. It's as if a seed has been planted and started to sprout. Now, you've surely heard that parable that Jesus told, a very famous one, about the sower who spread his seed on the different kinds of soil. You know how one seed fell upon the rocky soil and it grew, but the roots couldn't get very deep, and when the sun came up, it wilted and died. That parable. That parable was about the quality of the soil, but this parable for today is different. It is about the mystery of how faith grows once it is planted in a person. And it is a mystery how faith takes hold of a person and grows inside them, producing a lifetime of good works, the essential fruit of saving faith. You know that we cannot predict where the seed of God will sprout, which souls will respond and how they will, and which will become stony and hard and reject the word of life. But those that receive the word of God do grow and they grow surprisingly well. Jesus preached that parable also here of the mustard seed. The mustard seed's a very small seed, but it grows into a very big plant. Nature really can't surprise us sometimes, can it? The way it does things, as God engineered it. But not nearly as much surprising as the Word of God. Perhaps the greatest surprise is that God does his work in us without any help from us. You know, you'd think if you wanted to affect people, you would get them to participate actively in it, and then you'd make more of an impression on them. Isn't that the understanding of most teaching theory and education? But if the Word of God takes root and grows in us, well, then it is not to our credit, surprisingly. So it is to God's credit. Think of it this way. The mustard seed plant, it grows up. Does it boast about how tall it is? No, it doesn't measure itself. It just grows, and it produces a crop for us to enjoy on our hot dog. The Christian is the same. We do not know why faith grows in us. We do not choose God, actively call him to come into our heart, or accept his message of salvation actively in our part. To say this would be to say that we are in some way responsible for our own salvation. And the credit would be taken away from God and away from Jesus Christ and the cross, and it would be given to us where it does not belong. But instead, we are to be careful to proclaim that the glory of salvation goes to God, who called us by the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit working through God's own word. Like the plant, we don't add anything to our salvation. We are simply planted, and we grow. Now, what we are to watch out for are things that obstruct the growth of the gospel among us. Now, the plant in the parable has to grow wherever it's planted. But we Christians can't avoid things that hinder the growth of God's word among us. I'm talking about things like jealousy, greed, drunkenness, lust, things of this nature that work against the power of God's word. And we should stay far away from them and call an alarm out when we see them coming into our lives or into our hearts. And I think that so often we do not take the Bible's warnings about such things seriously enough. But God is faithful. And when we confess our sins, his forgiveness is total. We are ready for the harvest when he comes in and when he will take us from this broken life and gather us to himself. And then he gets to enjoy the fruits that he has produced in us, lives of faithfulness and dependence upon him. Yes, thank the Lord for all the goodness of this life, of this earth, and of this our country. And thank the Lord for that seed of his word and what it has produced in us. Faith, not in ourselves, but in Jesus Christ, in his accomplishment for us. And let it grow. Let it grow until the harvest comes. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.